You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Annabelle Cole-Martin, and it's time for Careers Unusual, where we speak to people with unusual careers. If you've seen beautifully captured photos of watches in those luxury magazines, have you ever wondered who takes them? How about who designed them? Well, this week we have Ming Tian, a watch designer and photographer. Ming, when did your interest for horology begin?
Actually, it's kind of unusual. I never intended to get that serious about watches. Basically, I was in university, my Seiko broke, and I basically wanted to go and get something else to replace it. And I've always had this conception, I think it's probably from my parents, that from a young age, basically, you know, you buy one, everybody has to have a decent watch, and, you know, that kind of lasts you a long time. But as I was doing my research, I found two things. One, this was actually pretty interesting, because from my background, I'm a physicist and an engineer, so the mechanical precision of it all was quite interesting to me. The second thing I found was that of all the watches that I liked, I couldn't afford a single one of them.
Very common story for all of us.
After that, I guess understanding a bit more about how the movements worked and, you know, some of the technology involved, I actually started experimenting with buying secondhand old watches off eBay, taking them apart, learning how they worked, trying to design some of my own stuff. I mean, looking back now, it's all pretty, I would say it's all pretty naive, and a lot of things don't work. But, you know, I think there were interesting germinations of ideas there.
And all this, where you are today, it's thanks to that broken Seiko that you had.
Kind of. I think it's a mix of things. I think it's a mix of me realizing that I actually really had an interest in this. Going down the conventional corporate path and finding it just didn't suit me. So I think it took a lot of courage to make the jump. I guess I'm still in the transition period between full-time corporate and full-time, full-time independent consultant, so to speak. But yeah, so far, no regrets.
Okay, so it's courage and passion. And seeing that this is something you are also passionate about, has this always been the case? I mean, did you take this up in school, or purely it's something that came out also partly from the engineering background?
I've always been interested in inventing and engineering and design and just, you know, understanding how things work, seeing if you can do it better. I mean, it's been a natural curiosity for me, but it's ranged across a large number of things, everything from I would say text and advertising layout design to I did some work with the Renault Formula One team a while back. So it's quite diverse, I suppose. But watches have given me a bit of a focus.
And how long have you been doing this watch designing and photography?
Okay, watch designing since 2001, I would say. So it's been a good 11 years now. Photography actually came about through watches, because up to that point, I'd always just, you know, taken a whatever instant point and shoot camera on vacation, snapped a few rolls, and, you know, usually people and places and things you want to remember. But I actually wanted to capture ideas which I'd seen in other pieces and other watches which perhaps were owned by friends or, you know, at shows or whatever, which I obviously couldn't take home. But I wanted to capture the essence and just use them for my ideas. So that, I guess, prompted me to get more serious about photography. And since my other focus was watches, this was naturally what I spent a lot of time on. That probably started 2003. A couple of years after the watch thing.
Oh, it's wonderful to see the progression from a broken watch going to watch engineering, designing, and then to photography.
Oh, I still break them. I still break them, but usually it's part of testing.
And how many watches have you designed?
Oh, tough question. I mean, a lot of the time when you're working with a manufacturer, it's not one person from end to end, so you'll have input into various aspects of the design. Mm-hmm. There are projects I do myself, which basically I use them as a way to understand how things work and as a way to challenge myself to keep the ideas flowing. I mean, for commercial projects, I've collaborated on probably 9 or 10 or more. I've kind of lost count. I'm in the process of collaborating on another 2 or 3 at the moment. That's in the works.
Mm-hmm. Can you share some of the brands?
I'm afraid I can't actually, because it's very, very confidential.
Okay.
I mean, you can probably understand if one brand finds out that you're working for both brands, there may be, I would say, some slight unhappiness.
Oh, sure, no problem.
But at the same time, there's not that many people who do this, so
it's a very different kind of career, and that's why you're here on the show.
Thank you.
we're curious, did you have to attend any kind of special training to shoot watches?
Honestly, no. It's been a lot of trial and error and experimentation. There was some techniques which I pioneered that have been, I guess, picked up on a lot of popular photography websites. But you know what? The thing is, you can't, especially with photography and other visual arts and design and everything, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over, because somebody will copy you, or it'll cease to be fresh, and basically you lose your edge. So you always have to keep experimenting, keep pushing yourself. And in that sense, even if there was somebody who could teach you, that would always put you one step behind. So the answer to that is no. I mean, I've had very good mentors in the past who taught me about very specific aspects of photography, like post-processing or lighting, for instance, but not specifically for watches. So all of that has been experimentation and just trial and error, I guess.
Okay, and are you teaching this special skill that you have to other people?
I have done in the past, and it's obviously a very niche thing. So the people I tend to teach either are very, very interested in collecting, and they're just, enthusiastic photographers as well, and think it's a great marriage of the two hobbies. Or I've had one or two who've come from brands themselves saying, we want to do this in-house, but it's just standard product shot kind of stuff. How do you do it? There is an aspect which I would say you can't teach, because a lot of it is experimentation and training, and how do you see and how do you compose the image. That is purely experience. You can kind of teach the technical stuff, but the rest of it is down to the individual.
And the talent, right?
Actually, it's been a discussion I've had with a lot of other photography friends and even some of my clients, and they basically go, well, how much of it's talent and how much of it is learned? I actually think that you can learn a lot of it. Yes, there are some people who've got innate talent and can just pick up a camera and fire off wonderful images, but there's two sides. One is your talent will take you very far in terms of composition. It won't take you very far in terms of the technical side, which you need to understand in order to be able to execute what you see. So by the flip side, you can be very well trained technically, but just lack that eye. But you can train the eye by actually looking at a lot of other work and trying to figure out what works for you, what doesn't, what have they done, how did they get there? And I mean, this is a process I went through. I think if anybody looked at some of my really early work, they'd probably urge me not to give up my day job.
I think talent versus training, it's a whole show by itself, and we can have that kind of discussion in another show. Well,
sure.
Let's talk about engineering watches. What does it really mean? Can you break it down in layman terms so that we can better appreciate what it means?
Okay. So basically, there are effectively two kinds of watches. The one type is electronic, and that's what everybody calls a quartz watch. It's powered by a battery which goes through some electronic circuits to oscillate a quartz crystal at a specific frequency. That's its natural frequency. The same circuit then counts the number of oscillations and moves the hands accordingly through a series of motors. I don't do that, because that is best handled by electronics companies and mass manufacturing. What I do look at is the mechanical watches, which a lot more complicated technically, but at the same time a lot simpler, because you don't have to worry about circuit design and all that kind of stuff. Effectively, everything's powered by a spring. So you wind up the spring using the crown. That's the little knob on the side of your watch.
Mm-hmm.
The spring holds energy, and as it unwinds, it powers the hands and everything else. Now, if you've ever watched a normal spring unwind, basically you wind it up and it goes, and all the energy just goes out within a fraction of a second. The mechanism in a watch is a number of gears which actually provides a reduction mechanism that controls the rate at which the watch unwinds, regardless of how much tension is in the spring. That is the critical part to maintaining accuracy. How well you can control the rate of the unwinding of the spring is, I guess, something which has been the endless pursuit of watchmakers, ever since somebody invented the first escapement. I was going to say, on top of that, we have other complications, we like to call them, on top of telling the time. So basically, a very complicated watch you'd have a chronograph, which is used for timing.
Mm-hmm.
You might also have a calendar, a perpetual calendar, which never needs to adjust itself. Basically, on short months, there's a program wheel, a mechanism, which advances the date wheel by 1 or 2 days at the end of the month, as necessary. It corrects for leap years, for instance. So on the 28th of February, on a leap year, it'll go to the 29th instead of the 1st of March. And then on top of that, you've got other special complications like minute repeaters, which chime the time. And things like that are what I really enjoy doing, because it's a huge challenge to do something which, number one, works reliably, and number two, hasn't been done before.
Well, thanks for breaking it down for us. Let's talk about you. What's a typical day like for a watch designer and photographer like you? What keeps you busy?
I think there's no such thing as a typical day, to be honest. I mean, there are certain things I'll do every day. Like I maintain a photography website at mingtian.com, which basically I'll post two or three times a day. A lot of time, sometimes it's about, on assignment work, how do you shoot whatever? I mean, what are the kinds of things I face in the studio or, on client shoot? more about philosophy. You know, what do I think of the state of the industry, for instance, or, you know, what's the trade-off between how far do you go for your passion kind of thing? I mean, I guess there's that which takes up a couple of hours in the morning, answering correspondence, that kind of thing. And then usually I'll have, if I'm on assignment for a shoot, I will prep my gear the night before, I'll have my shot list ready, and basically off we go. Sometimes it's on location, so we need to travel there. Sometimes I do it in my studio. It depends on really what the client's comfortable with. If it's a designing day, then typically I'll just blank myself out and lock myself in my study for, you know, a good 12 or 13 hours, and basically you get in that zone where you're just so focused on what you're doing, everything else kind of passes you by and you don't really notice the time.
Okay, let's talk about the challenges. Were there any challenges when you started off?
Heaps. Where do you want me to start?
Maybe share a couple.
Photography. Okay, let's start with photography. I think part of it was just learning how everything worked and then figuring out how to apply it in such a way that I could actually get what I wanted out of the shot. I mean, that was, I would say, getting the hard part done was many years ago, but I think if I don't challenge myself, you find that you start slipping and then your clients start going, well, this is not that exciting. So, you know, I like to feel just a little bit uncomfortable every time I shoot. Mm-hmm. From the design point of view, I think there are a lot of little nuances which, if you don't have formal training, like somebody like me, for instance, I mean, I come from an engineering and a physics background, so I don't have watchmaking training. It's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing in the sense that you're not limited by tradition. Mm-hmm. Or conventional people saying it's the way it's always been done. But at the same time, there are solutions which you do not necessarily understand. Either you just use them blindly, or you actually have to kind of reach that conclusion yourself through understanding. And that's, I guess, two of the major executional challenges. However, the biggest challenge for both is, how do you turn this into a career? That is always a question which I think is on every freelancer's mind. I don't think there's an answer to it. All you can do is make sure, firstly, you know, make sure you're good at what you do. Secondly, you know, you need to make sure the client's happy, because at the end of the day, they're the ones paying the paycheck.
And aside from being able to do something that you're passionate about, what gives you the greatest satisfaction today in what you do?
I feel the need to create. I think that's just me. I need to create something. Now, with watch design, it's very tangible, because you have a piece you're looking at the end of the day, and, you know, you go, okay, I did this, or I was part of this. With photography, it's a lot more instant, you know. You can go out and shoot and get something tangible which you can be happy with fairly quickly. And I like that. I like that, you know, you're not running a 1 year or 2 year or 3 year project before you see any sort of results. And that I guess can be kind of demoralizing, because you don't know. Sometimes you wonder, where is this all going?
That sounds familiar in the corporate
world. It's very familiar in the corporate world.
Yes.
And there's a lot of times, you know, you do something and it just gets buried or killed because of budget reasons or something else, you know. But I think aside from the my personal need to create, one of the things which gives me most satisfaction is, at the end of the day, whoever the end client or the end customer is, that they're happy.
And having such an unusual career as a watch designer and photographer, has it brought you to a lot of places?
The watch design part, not really, to be honest. A lot of it's done remotely, and a lot of the travel is usually to Switzerland. From a photography point of view, yes and no. I've done assignments in Nepal. I've done assignments in Vietnam. I've done assignments in various other interesting places. I guess a photojournalist would probably go to a lot more interesting places than I do.
From the sound of it, you did travel a lot.
I traveled more when I was in corporate, believe it or not.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a different kind of travel.
Yeah. Well, all the hotel rooms and airports tend to look the same after a while.
True. This I got to ask, is it financially rewarding to become a watch designer and a photographer?
Honestly, if you're looking to make money, no. You know, if you're looking to get rich, then I will say absolutely this is not the right career for you, because you need to be passionate about what you do. A lot of the time there'll be things, firstly, the path is very uncharted, so you may not actually necessarily know what you need to do at any given time, at any given day. You just have to kind of do it, go along with your experience, and hope you get it right. And there are times, I won't lie, there are times where basically you'll have no work and you wonder, did I make the right choice? You know.
Okay.
And there are times where you think, damn, I wish I had this amount of money to buy whatever, you know, if only I was still working in the corporate job. But, you know, I think the satisfaction that I get out of it outweighs all of that. So one thing I realized fairly early on after going full-time in this career is, a bad day of photography is still better than a good day in the office, and that's what keeps me here.
Thank you so much for your honesty. And Last question. Which watch is your favorite?
Oh, that is a that is a very, very politically charged question. I'm you know what? I'm going to say it's the next project that I'm involved in. Because, you know, we always want to do something better than the last one. So I'm gonna say it's the next project I'm involved in.
Okay. I've been speaking to Ming Tian, a local watch designer and photographer in Career as Usual, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.